From the Radio Ranch, in the heart of Liberty, Texas, it's the Bombastic Blogcast for Thursday, October 31st, 2024. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
There yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, the kid with the patriotic red, white, and blue eyes, and one heck of a nice guy. What do you say we get things officially started with?
The Daily Datagram.
You got it. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. Good one here, too. It says, many people quit looking for work when they find a job. True that. And those are the people who don't know how to look busy.
This will not look good on a resume!
Let's move along now with the so-called educational part of this big blogcast.
Twisted History.
Here it is.
Gather round, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
Are you impressed?
Some cool, some not so cool. Just the same. You need to know your Twisted History.
Yes, you do.
You might be quizzed.
Yeah. Someday out of the clear blue, they may just surprise us and throw us a real quiz. Of course, you have the option to refuse to do it, all right? But you don't get the participation trophy. All right, kids, was on this day in 1941. After 14 years of work, Mount Rushmore was finally complete. It's one of the most visited tourist sites in the world. And if you've never seen the movie North by Northwest, great old Hitchcock film, you must. The climax to the entire story takes place on top of Mount Rushmore. Right on top of one of the president's heads. Ooh. And it was on this day in 1999, yachtsman Jesse Martin returned to Melbourne, Australia after 11 months of circumnavigating the world solo, nonstop, and unassisted. And upon his return, the welcoming committee had to stand upwind as he exited the boat.
Oh, no.
White House had to go into damage control Tuesday night after Joe Biden sabotaged Kamala Harris and called millions of Trump supporters garbage. Well, Biden made the remark during a campaign call on Tuesday night as Kamala was delivering a speech at the Ellipse in Washington, D.C. Now, Biden, I don't know that this is accurate, but there's this assumption out there now that Biden is willfully trying to sabotage Kamala's campaign. And if he is, he's not doing it. I don't believe he's doing it with support from the Democrat Party. I mean, Joe Biden is senile. That's all there is to it. Nobody wants to admit it, but he is senile. He has been senile for a long time. Well, during the campaign call, Biden once again took a swipe at that comedian, Kill Tony. And what is it? Tony Heathcliff is his name. And he cracked a joke. And I must admit, it wasn't a good one about Puerto Rico. And this was during Sunday night's big rally at Madison Square Garden in New York. Well, Biden lashed out Tuesday evening while Kamala was on stage for her closing argument and called Trump supporters garbage. You can see it on video if you go to the internet. And here's what Biden said on the video. He says, Donald Trump has no character. He doesn't give a damn about the Latino community. Just the other day, a speaker at his rally called Puerto Rico a floating island of garbage. The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters. So that didn't do the Kamala campaign much good. Would this sway the election one way or the other? No, of course not. And then later on, Biden had to claim that he was referring to hateful rhetoric at Trump's Madison Square Garden rally Sunday night. Well, when it comes to hateful rhetoric, what do you think that line just was? Here again, it's another case of hypocrisy, rampant hypocrisy within the Democrat Party. So here was his explanation. Earlier today, I referred to the hateful rhetoric about Puerto Rico spewed by Trump's supporter at his Madison Square Garden rally as garbage, which is the only word I can think of to describe it. His demonization of Latinos is unconscionable. That's all I meant to say. The comments at that rally don't reflect who we are as a nation. Okay, let's be totally honest about this. That statement was pure BS. Pure BS. Because everybody knows that Donald Trump doesn't hate Latinos. If he did, how do you explain the millions, literally millions of Latinos here in the United States who are citizens and are voting for Donald Trump? I mean, there's nothing to explain. It's very obvious why they're voting for Donald Trump. He represents their Christian values. You know, you go into the Latino community and you see a community that is steeped in their Christian faith. So, you know, here again, this is a controversy that really should be ignored. But I believe in the truth. I believe in it getting out there. So, CNN's Caitlin Collins, who I don't care for her at all. I don't care for CNN at all. But I will give her credit here. She scoffed at the White House's excuses. And she says it's hard to really look at that when you can listen to it for yourself. And she was talking about Biden's video. So Pennsylvania's Democrat Governor Josh Shapiro was shocked by Biden's attack and said that he would never insult Americans as garbage like Joe Biden did. That's something you just don't do. Is this a Democrat thing? No. I'm not defending Democrats. I think their heads are screwed on so wrong. They're screwed on in a 180-degree direction. When it comes to our Constitution, Democrats are socialists, and a good many of them, far too many of them, are leaning toward communism. But was what Joe Biden said a Democrat thing? No, absolutely not. It was a Joe Biden thing, and it should be treated as such. I hate to have to report this, but it's gotten pretty obvious that anti-Semitism has spread pretty quickly now. From Muslim Congress members, you know, the squad in Washington, to ordinary citizens on the streets. Now, there's a shooting of an Orthodox Jew in Chicago that happened a few days ago. It's raising questions about the criteria for hate crime charges. Now, personally, I thought this whole idea of hate crimes was ridiculous. When you have a shooting, especially a shooting of this type, you're shooting somebody, you obviously hate them. You're wishing them harm or maybe even death, right? So isn't that a form of a hate crime? I think that they created this Pandora's box called hate crimes basically to fuel more political rhetoric. But that box has already been opened. So let's pursue this. This was the shooting of an Orthodox Jew in a nice Chicago neighborhood. And once again, it's raising the criteria for hate crime charges, especially since the shooter was heard shouting Allahu Akbar just before firing the gun. Now, the victim was a 39-year-old Orthodox Jew on his way to the synagogue. Sidi Mohammed Abdallahi, or is it? Abdallahi. Now, he's 22 years old. He's facing over a dozen felony charges right now. That should be enough, but, and I'm certainly not defending this guy. Throw as many charges on this guy as you can. And this is stemming from the shooting involving the Orthodox Jewish man in Chicago who was a 39-year-old on his way to synagogue, and he was shot in the shoulder with no prior interaction. There were no words exchange between the two men. And the attack occurred in a neighborhood known for its large Orthodox Jewish community. So obviously this guy, who is Muslim, just willfully went into an Orthodox Jewish neighborhood and committed the crime. Now, during the incident, which included gunfire aimed at police officers and paramedics, so he didn't just shoot the 39-year-old Orthodox Jewish man, Abdallahi reportedly shouted Allahu Akbar. Here's the report as it aired on WMAQ-TV in Chicago.
A shooting in a West Rogers Park neighborhood Saturday morning caught on camera. Chicago police say 22-year-old Sidi Muhammad Abdullahi shot a man, then turned on law enforcement and medics responding to the scene and shot at them.
During the shooting, the offender approached a 39-year-old male and shot him in the shoulder without saying a word.
That victim was 39-year-old Jewish man walking to synagogue.
This act of violence, a man wearing, you know, the kippah as he was walking to synagogue, was shot. And this has just escalated our anxiety.
Alderman Deborah Silverstein attends the same synagogue and says she's disappointed the state's attorney's office hasn't charged it as a hate crime. CPD says they aren't ruling it out, but need more evidence made difficult because the suspect is still in the hospital following the shootout.
At the end of the day, it's as traumatic whether or not it gets that terminology of being a hate crime.
Rabbi Shlomo Soroka of the Agudath Israel of Illinois says the community is distressed.
My family lives here. My community lives here. We are visibly Orthodox. We are visibly Jewish. And that puts a target on our backs.
And others in the neighborhood who are not Jewish also feel on edge.
I mean, it's really concerning, that level of whatever the motivation was.
Mike McGuire heard the shooting while on a walk.
We saw the EMS pulling down Farwell.
I would say that there's a lot of anxiety in the community.
There's a detention hearing set for Tuesday morning in this case.
Now, Abdullahi's actions resulted in charges including attempted first-degree murder, there's that, and aggravated discharge of a firearm, but no hate crime charges. Now, Abdullahi was captured on security footage, leaving an alley and firing a single round while shouting Allahu Akbar. And during the confrontation with police, he sustained critical injuries and is still hospitalized. I mean, clearly this guy's out of his mind, but it's the nature of where his hatred was directed that's the reason for this debate. And despite the nature of the assault, he's not been charged yet with a hate crime. So this prompts public debate, and I think this is why this whole concept of hate crimes was generated, for the purpose of continuing debate. Now, Chicago Police Superintendent Larry Snelling commented on the process. He said, the first step is to determine who is committing the crime. Secondly, we have to find out the motive for the crime. We don't just go in and assume that everything is a hate crime. But what we don't do is rule out the possibility that it could be. Okay, that sounds sensible enough. Now, this restraint in categorizing the crime, though, has raised concerns among community leaders about rising bias-related crimes. You got a lot of people who've expressed concern about the perceived reluctance to quickly apply hate crime labels, particularly given indications of religious or racial motivation. Now, you look around the nation's college campuses and you can see that anti-Semitism is on the rise, but it has been called out. Now, the incident has understandably shaken Chicago's Orthodox Jewish community, and I've got a lot of leaders that have called for hate crime charges in response to this particular suspect's behavior and the attack's targeted nature. Now, this plea has highlighted ongoing disagreements about what constitutes a hate crime and why certain actions meet or don't meet that standard. So this incident serves as a reminder of the complexities inherent in legal classifications of crimes that may have been motivated by bias. The ongoing investigation is going to hopefully bring clarity and perhaps maybe even justice to the affected communities. Meanwhile, debate continues about whether current legal frameworks adequately address the nature and frequency of incidents like this. And perhaps that's the way it should be. You know what's happening in this country today, right? I mean today, literally today. You know what's happening? The same thing that happened in 1980. You had 4 years of Jimmy Carter who didn't intentionally, at least I don't believe he intentionally set out to destroy the country, destroy the economy, destroy American people. Gad, I wish there was a count as to how many suicides happened during the 4 years that Jimmy Carter was in office. He was a terrible president. Terrible. Everything Jimmy Carter touched turned to crap. And I've maintained all these years that Jimmy Carter is the reason that Egypt's Anwar Sadat was assassinated. But, you know, what good does rehashing that do? Okay, we can learn from history, I guess. But this is where we are. We're back in 1980. And we see waiting in the wings to take the White House another Ronald Reagan. Because lately, and particularly since the July 13th attempt on his life, Donald Trump appears to have mellowed. And this is resonating with American voters. And now we have this seismic wave of Republican early voters that may be the difference maker in Nevada, a state that hasn't gone red since 2004. Now, the Nevada Independent reported that conservative Nevadans now exceed the number of Democratic early and mail-in voters. And they say that this is a phenomenon that essentially never happens, given Democrats' overwhelming enthusiasm for voting on any day except Election Day. So you see where this is going? And this same scenario is being repeated in other states, but we're making note of this in Nevada because of basically the traditional nature of voting in Nevada. So according to veteran journalist Ron Ralston, an overnight uptick in Democratic ballots from populous Clark County wasn't enough to make a dent in the GOP's advantage in early voting, where Republicans there have submitted 38,000 more ballots than Democrats, a lead of 5.3%. Statewide, GOP voters have turned in 40,000 more ballots than Democrats, putting their lead at 5.7%. And Ralston wrote about it, and he said this has never happened, not even close, in the Reid machine era. And, of course, that was a reference to Harry Reid. Do you remember Harry Reid, right? The man who declared that paying taxes in the United States is purely voluntary. Oh, Harry Reid was just a despicable, filthy, corrupt bastard. And I don't know if you remember this, but before he left office, Harry Reid had some kind of an accident of some sort that permanently damaged one of his eyes. And I maintained back then when that was discovered that Harry Reid either did something or didn't do something that he was told to do by either a contributor or some underworld figure and was probably worked over in an alley somewhere in I don't know, Vegas or Reno or wherever. But, oh God, Harry Reid, no longer in politics, thank God. But Clark County is anchored by Las Vegas, and it's ground zero for Republicans' enthusiasm about delivering Trump a win in a state that last voted for the Republican nominee in 2004. So we're not talking really about ancient history, except for the fact that this is politics. And in the world of politics, 2004 is a long time ago. Now there, Republicans are almost 9% ahead in turnout in Clark County, while the usually reliable Clark Democrat firewall has all but completely evaporated. And those are Ralston's words, the journalist. Now, unlike 2020 or 2022, the phenomenon he's seeing has no precedent. So this really underscores how badly Republicans want Trump to return to the White House. He says, this is a unicorn year. We've never seen this. Well, and again, and this is something the mainstream media naturally wouldn't touch with a crowbar because it makes their side look bad. And that is the economy. It's the economy, stupid. You've got families that are just hanging by a thread financially. I would love to see some figures on the number of home foreclosures that have happened since Joe Biden's been in the White House. I mean, it's very clear to anybody who cares to even approach just a smidgen of honesty that what has happened since Joe Biden took the White House is catastrophic to the average American. The American middle class is getting squeezed out, perhaps even at a higher rate than during the Jimmy Carter years. Although I lived the Jimmy Carter years. I was trying to raise a family during the Jimmy Carter years. And it wasn't easy when you could only buy gasoline every other day. And the day on which you could buy gasoline was determined by whether you had an odd number or even numbered license plate. Life was not good under Jimmy Carter, and I'm one American who will never forget it. God forbid if I should ever get Alzheimer's, I guarantee you one thing I will remember was what it was like living under Jimmy Carter. With 17.5% home loan interest rates, credit card interest rates at 25% or more. It was unemployment figures were in double digits constantly. Inflation figures were in double digits. There was a period there under Jimmy Carter where when you went to the gas pump, every time you went to the gas pump, the price of gas was up another 25 cents a gallon. So, you know, I'm not imagining this. I lived it. I was raising kids during that time. I had two kids at that time. So don't try to blow a bunch of sunshine up my backside about this administration because I'm recognizing the very same symptoms. And this is affecting people in Nevada. Nevadans, who encompass a transient workforce of service industry voters living in an epicenter of the nation's housing crisis, are quite obviously fed up with giving Democrats the benefit of the doubt each presidential election. That's what's happening here. That's what happened during the 1980 election season. We kept giving the Democrats the benefit of the doubt. Now, earlier this month, Politico reported that Trump had opened a 5-point lead over Harris, which is a stunning development in Nevada, because Trump lost by nearly 2.5% 4 years ago and was expected to remain just out of play this cycle in Nevada. But look what's happening. Instead, Trump has opened or expanded leads there, as well as in Arizona, Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and Georgia, all of which are critical swing states that'll determine the winner. And here's an interesting aspect about North Carolina that perhaps you didn't know. It's a very recent development. The Democrat campaign for Kamala Harris is pulling a lot of their advertising dollars. We're talking about millions in most of North Carolina's major television markets. Because they're basically getting ready to concede North Carolina, which makes sense because North Carolina got hit so badly with Hurricane Helene, and the rescue forces from the federal government haven't been showing up because they're out of money, because all of that FEMA money went to support illegal aliens. I mean, I tell you this. My hope is that the average American voter has a long memory this time around, and that 4 years from now, they remember this, and 4 years after that, they remember this. So when it comes to these critical swing states, the Democrats can no longer afford to take them for granted. And in a bid to staunch the bleeding, Harris, back in August, took up Trump's promise to eliminate taxes on tipped wages. That's a big deal in Nevada. This is a policy that's proven very popular in Las Vegas service industry. But despite leading for most of her short campaign, she's finally fallen below a winning average, according to 538. And she's now 0.2%, 0.2% below Trump in an amalgam of the latest polls, one of which showed Trump up by 3 points. Now, Republicans have grown increasingly bullish about their chances of winning, especially in the Senate. Wins in West Virginia and Montana, now all but certain, would be enough to flip the upper chamber to GOP control. And meanwhile, tightening races in Ohio and Pennsylvania have saddled incumbent Democrats, Sherrod Brown, who's dirty, and Bob Casey. Don't know much about Bob Casey of Pennsylvania, But it saddled these two guys with voters' unhappiness about high prices. You know, the stuff that you and I are living with. Threatening to give Republicans an even greater number of seats. So House Speaker Mike Johnson Monday said that he believes Trump would support his bid to remain as Speaker. An outcome that'll only occur if the GOP keeps its slim majority. Johnson's been a good speaker. He really has. Things were a little shaky there for a day or two at the very beginning, but they ironed that out, and the man's been solid. And of course, he has a great background being a Republican from Louisiana. He brings that good Louisiana common sense with him. You know, just like Senator John Kennedy, who is just an American treasure. So while this news is good, and it's very good, we still can't rest on our laurels. While things on a day-to-day basis keep looking better and better for Donald Trump, and as I just said, we can't rest on our laurels. One thing that's coming out of all the demographic analysis that's going on right now, in not just polling, but in exit polls where there's early voting, and that is America's young men. Forget race. Forget ethnicities. America's young men. Young men are voting for Donald Trump, which tells me that they can see through the phoniness of not just Kamala Harris. Kamala's doing pretty much what she's being told to do, except for the fact that when she's put in a situation where they stick a camera and a microphone in front of her face and they ask her a question, she can't answer it. She goes off on these silly tangents.
Well, I was raised in a middle-class neighborhood.
That sort of thing, or she just stands there when she gets real nervous and cackles. But America's young men are turning out for Donald Trump, and this is big. To the Comedy Corner with Don McEnery.
You ever try something new when you eat? You try something exotic or different? And when somebody asks you what it tastes like, what does it always taste like? Chicken. Always tastes like chicken. Everything tastes like chicken. Here's my question. How come eggs don't taste like chicken? I don't know either. I read something interesting the other day. You know what praying mantises do after they mate? No, they don't kill each other. Then there'd be no mantises. But you're close. After they mate, praying mantises, the female bites the head off the male. This guy shows up for work on Monday. Everybody knows how his weekend went. There are no secrets in the mantis world. There are no affairs either, I suppose. You come home with no head, you try to explain to your wife where you've been. Let me know how that works out. I saw a commercial the other day for a mattress company was doing a commercial on TV, and their slogan was, we take sleep to the next level. We take sleep to the next level. What is the next level of sleep? Death. I don't think I want that mattress. Do you have a mattress where I wake up refreshed and feeling alive? That I could get into. Everything's changed, too. The news. You watch cable news. There's too much going on cable news. You know what I mean? When I was a kid, there was just one guy talking to you on the screen telling you the news. And it was always a guy because until, like, 76, they didn't realize women could read, too. Enlightened world we lived in. But there's just too much going on the screen. You know what I mean? There's like the person there, the anchor, and then there's that grid of people in squares. It looks like the Brady Bunch is there to answer political questions. And then there's the crawl on the bottom. The crawl. I hate the crawl. The crawl, because I can't not look at it. You know what I mean? I'm trying to pay attention to the person talking. Well, yeah, I'm listening. Okay, yeah, good. I'm listening. I got you. No, I'm paying attention. But 5 minutes in, I'm looking at the crawl. And that gets me mad because I'm paying like $150 a month for cable. And now I'm reading the TV. And I can't concentrate on what I'm reading. because this guy keeps talking.
Have a great Thursday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's bombastic blogcast. Just remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And you be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
Tomorrow, G-Man.